This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Along, we're in the book of Exodus, chapter 1. We'll start in verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land." Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. And their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mightily. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born to you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." This is God's word. So you can follow along in the book of Exodus. We'll be spending most of our time here. We'll jump to another Bible section to look at, but we'll be here primarily Exodus chapter 1. The title of this message is Brave Women of the Hebrew Child. Brave Women of the Hebrew Child. And what we'll see as we go throughout this text, we're going to see women who are brave. Very brave, risking their own lives for the life of another. It's something about bravery that we admire, that we cherish, that we value. But oftentimes, to be brave means that you're going to stand alone. That's one of the keys to understanding bravery, to be courageous, to live a life of bravery, is that you're going to stand alone often against the main tide of opinions. Standing for truth bravely often means standing alone. The brave are always a minority. But there's something about a brave woman that is just so beautiful and fascinating. You read in the Bible of brave women, and it's like they just shine 10,000 times brighter than a brave man. I don't know what it is. For me, at least, that's the case. When I read the Bible of women like Jael, many of you may not know the story of Jael, but I encourage you to read the story of Jael and the tent peg and giving the pagan king, I think it's Sisera, the cream in a lordly dish. Beware of women with creams in a lordly dish. Or Deborah, one of the judges of Israel, who rose up bravely to lead Israel because no man wanted to do it. Or Zipporah, the wife of Moses, or Abigail, who became one of the wives of David. These women who expressed bravery in what they did. I'm always fascinated with the crucifixion of Jesus, that it's the women who stay put. A lot of the men flee, they run away, they're scared, they don't want to get caught. But the women are right there at the cross the whole time. They're willing to associate with him. Who were the first ones at the tomb when, after Jesus was buried? Women. Brave women. There's something about it. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at some brave women that many of us have probably never even considered before. This was something that was newly revealed to me. And so I hope we all receive that blessing. And the big idea of this message is that when the world tells us to suppress, to kill the Hebrew child, we are to bravely fight for life. And with the message, you'll have a particular application for women, because this is the day for women to shine. Amen. But there's also application for everyone here. Now, in this text, we have a Hebrew child that's born. He's Moses. But in the Bible, the Hebrew child, Moses, is a type of Christ, the Hebrew child to come. Moses is a type of Christ. In the Old Testament, you have these types of Christ, people that point to Christ and are shadows of the one who is to come. Moses is the one who brought the law, the divine will of God, and Jesus Christ is the one who brings the law of love, the fulfillment of that law. Moses is a type of Christ. So when we talk about the Hebrew child, we're going to talk about Moses, but we're also going to talk about Jesus Christ. So what's going on in this text? What you have is you have God mercifully brought the descendants of Abraham to Egypt through an amazing turn of events with this man, Joseph. And you can read that in the book of Genesis. But as time went on, as the Hebrew people grew and multiplied, the events of what happened with Joseph when he was second in command kind of fizzled into history books and didn't get very important. And history was rewritten. And so what you have now is this Pharaoh who steps up, doesn't know about the original Joseph, and just has all these Hebrew people around, and he gets concerned. He becomes concerned that the Hebrew children might become more powerful than he's able to control. And so he decides to do something about it. He decides to enact ancient eugenics, ethnic cleansing, the wiping out of a people group who seemed to be a nuisance. And you see this in verse 11, excuse me, in verse 15, the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on their birth stools, if it is a son, you shall kill him. If it is a daughter, then she shall live. If you kill the male line, you kill access to growth and multiplication, so kill the male babies for convenience, to make things easier, to reduce the gross population. But then there are these women who step up, who are brave women. So the first and second brave women of the Hebrew child that we see is Shiphrah and Puah, the midwives. These women would go around and help with the deliveries of the Hebrew women. And they rose up when given this command and bravely went against it. Look in verse 17. The midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. Did not do as the Hebrew, excuse me, as the king of Egypt commanded them. You know, I think it's interesting with our day and age, we hear a lot about, you know, government abusing their powers and overstepping their bounds. And you kind of get two sides of the debate. You get some Christians who think that, you know, we should just be complete rebels of any authority and do what we want and for Jesus' name. But no, the Bible says we are to submit to authority, be good witnesses in our communities and such. But then the other extreme, more prevalent in the case of the past 2 years, are these Christians that believe, you know, anything government says, you do. Okay, Romans 13 says obey leadership, so you do it. Okay, they tell you to jump, you say how high. They tell you to do this and that, you do it. But what happens when what they're asking contradicts what God wants of us? And here we have an example in the Bible of women who heard the command of their government and said, no, I'm not going to obey that. So the first quality we see of a brave woman of the Hebrew child is that a brave woman of the Hebrew child is a God-fearing woman. A God-fearing woman. Verse 17, the midwives feared God. Verse 21, and so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. You see, you had the authority of a king commanding them to do this. And the midwives knew that if they disobeyed the king, they were in trouble. Their lives were on the line. They were risking death. They were risking maybe losing their place, becoming imprisoned. Who knows? And that was a fearful consideration. But then as they considered it, as these women considered it, they thought of God, who values the life of every child, who personally brings a child into this world. God, who gave the Ten Commandments eventually, but the law written in the heart said, you don't kill anybody. You don't murder somebody for convenience. Ethnic cleansing is wrong. And so the midwives feared God. Should we fear this man? Or should we fear God? And the woman bravely feared God. There's something about a God-fearing woman that shines bright in this world. There's something about a woman who sees obedience to her Heavenly Father as something to cherish, something to uphold, something to value, that she doesn't want to displease God. She doesn't want to go against her Father. She doesn't want to bring shame to the name of Jesus. So she fears the idea of bringing that shame. She fears the idea of displeasing her God. And so when it comes down to the decision of, am I going to fear this institution, this society, this public opinion, this man, this woman, this individual? Am I going to fear them? Because if I go along with them, they want me to go in this direction, or am I going to fear God, who wants me to follow Him and obey Him? And when a woman decides, no, I'm going to fear God, I'm going to cherish Him, revere Him, want to serve Him, want to obey Him, there's something beautiful about it that resonates and shines out. There may be a woman who's married and her husband is not obeying God, does not fear God. And there's this Bible principle of a wife must submit to her husband, but the Bible verse says the wife must submit to the husband as to the Lord. And so inasmuch as the Lord Jesus Christ is within that man, she submits to Jesus through that man. But when the life of Christ is not present in that man, do you fear God or do you fear man? And so there's something beautiful of when a woman who fears God says, I won't submit to that because that's evil, that's wrong, I won't go in that direction. And it's going to cause issues. But she'll be seen as a God-fearing woman. She'll be seen as a woman who cherishes God. Maybe there's a mother who loves God, but she loves her children too. And maybe she sees that somewhere along the way, her child made a wrong decision and went on the wrong path. And she doesn't want to, she wants to make the child know that she loves the child and she'll always want what's best for the child, but she knows that if she tells the child, it gives any indication that she is okay with that sort of a lifestyle or okay with that sort of a decision, that she's going to be dishonoring the name of God. There's something beautiful about a woman who says, no, I fear God. I love you, child. I want what's best for you, but I can't agree with that. In fact, that's harmful for you. This is what the Bible says. This is what God wants for you. A God-fearing woman. This is a question for all of us. Do we fear God? Many of you have remembered that old, I think it was probably made in the 90s, that peer pressure commercial where you've got this young boy who's, you know, under the bleachers of the sports field and some big bully kids come along and they start whipping out products of whatever and they start doing it and they turn to the kid and they say, you want in on this? And the child looks at them and feels that pressure, that peer pressure. They don't want to be made fun of. They don't want to be turned away from the group. They don't want to have a label associated. They don't want to be bullied. And so they have that pressure. But then they think of their parents who raised them with good principles and not to go in that lifestyle. And that stuff's harmful. And so they fear their parents more than they fear whatever these bullies can do. That's the same with us. When it comes to obeying God, we think of God and what He's laid down for us as principles to live on. We should fear Him and cherish obeying Him more than any pressure that society puts on us. That's particularly relevant in our own day and age when you have these governments and decisions that are being made. Listen, we do not let our politics dictate our faith. We fear God and we let our faith dictate our politics. And we obey God. And we promote the truth of God in our society. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28 says, do not fear those who killed. This is Jesus talking. He says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. There will be people that Christians will come against and they're going to want to kill you, harm you, persecute you, make your life difficult. And Jesus is saying, don't fear them because they can't touch your soul. God can. And so he goes on to say, rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God can destroy your soul and body in hell. So there should be an idea that your soul is more important than your body. So a Christian who has accepted the salvation through Jesus, they're forgiven, they won't go to hell, they still fear disobeying this God who saved me and loves me and wants what's best for me. I don't want to disobey you. And so when this entity, this person, this group says, hey, aren't you cool? Don't you want in on this? This is popular. We say, no. No, the Bible, God tells me, God doesn't want me to do that. God wants this instead for you, actually. This is a better way to go. The brave woman of the Hebrew child is a God-fearing woman. Those are the first and second brave women, the third woman that we see, but we don't. This woman is amazing. We don't even think of her much. In verse 1 and 2 of chapter 2, the third brave woman of the Hebrew child, Jochebed. And I'm probably killing that name. Jochebed. And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw this, that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Okay, this is the mother of Moses. And you read later, and I think it's in Exodus chapter 6, they name her Jochebed. This is the mother of Moses. She's a brave woman of the Hebrew child. Because there's this mandate, there's this law that was written by the Pharaoh that if you have a son, cast him into the Nile. Do away with him. And here comes Jochebed who has this child and sees the beauty and cherishes this child. And she says no. So a second quality that we learn is that a brave woman of the Hebrew child not only is a God-fearing woman, but is a life-promoting woman. A brave woman of the Hebrew child is a life-promoting woman. When Jochebed was pressured to kill, she said no. A brave woman, when she's pressured to suppress life, she says no. To the point, and this is where the bravery shines through, brothers and sisters, to the point where she says, I'm going to risk my own life for the sake of the life of another. I'm going to put my life on the line if it means that the life of this is preserved. She says, I'd rather lose my life than take the life of this child. That's the epitome of bravery, to be able to sacrifice and lay down your own life for the sake of another child. And when you think of the idea of preserving my own life at the cost of another, that's cowardly. And so, I think everyone here, woman or man or child, would want to be known and seen as a brave person. As somebody who lives according to principles that are, sure, they may not be popular, but they'll be looked back upon as, that was a brave decision. And this means that you want to promote life. I mentioned earlier this Hebrew child is Moses, but there's also the idea that this Hebrew child is Christ. And when Jochebed was pressured to suppress, do away with the life of her child, she said, no, I'm going to promote him and do what it takes to release him into this world. And the same with us, brothers and sisters. This society, this world that we live in, does not want us to bring the Hebrew child, Jesus Christ, into this world. Does not want us to talk about Jesus in our conversation. Does not want us to live a life that Christ wants us to live. This world wants us to kill the Hebrew child. And there's something about bravely stepping up and saying, no, this child will live. I will take him into this world. I will promote the life of Jesus. I will talk about him to those who need to hear him. I will live a life according to his principles, by his grace. I love this child. Jochebed looked at the child, verse 2, when she saw that he was beautiful. I will look at the beauty of Jesus Christ, the Hebrew child, and say, no, he's too beautiful to do this. He's too needed in the world to continue, suppress, do away with. I will release him. How will you promote the life of the Hebrew child? Are you like Jochebed, who wants to bring the life of this child into the world around you, talk about Jesus, promote his life to those around you? Or are you like maybe some of the other Hebrew women who caved in under the pressures and suppressed the life of the Hebrew child? How do you bring the life of Christ into this world? I was so blessed at the men's prayer breakfast. We had a guest speaker, Isaiah Anderson, come, and he has a heart for the lost that just is a fire, a flame that I need. And to hear him share how he overcame his fear, talking about how he thought about how there was not one person who shared the gospel to him, that he came about it through an odd weaving way with Jehovah's Witnesses, but then realized the Bible's truth and came into the reality of the gospel. And he thought back and how he never met one person who shared their faith with him. And God spoke to his heart and said, are you going to be the same way? And ever since then, his life was changed, where he goes and he shares the gospel with his immediate family members and then co-workers. And he'll take a Saturday and just go out, hand out tracts, strike up a conversation, just different anyway, that he can promote the life of the Hebrew child. Will you promote the life of the Hebrew child, Jesus Christ? There's another principle with Jochebed. Not only is the brave woman of the Hebrew child a life-promoting woman, but a brave woman of the Hebrew child is a wise woman. She's a wise woman. You see, it's very interesting what she does. She could have taken her son and she could have said, no, I'm not going to obey the king, and taken that son and gone to the palace and pounded on the door of the palace, and he would have opened the door and said, I'm not going to obey you. This is my child. But what would have happened? Pharaoh would have just motioned to one of his officers to spear the child and do away with it, and probably her. But what does she do? She wisely comes up with this plan to take this child and put him in a basket and send him down the Nile. Now, the text does not say, but it's very likely that she knew Pharaoh's daughter goes to that spot. And the sister of the child follows along and happens to go to Pharaoh's daughter and say, well, I can find a nursemaid for you if you need. And isn't it interesting that in verse 22, the Pharaoh said, every son who is born to you, you shall cast into the river. And isn't it interesting that Jochebed said, okay, takes her son and casts him into the river. She was a wise woman. There's something about a woman of wisdom that is beautiful. You see, when you fear God, you cherish Him, and you read His Word, and you submit to Him in obedience, His Holy Spirit comes and gives you a wisdom so that when these persecutions come, when these difficult decisions come, He guides you and He shows you what decisions you need to make. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26. I'll encourage everyone to turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 8. I want to point out this verse, but I just, while we're turning there to Proverbs chapter 8, the book of Proverbs 31 verse 26 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is a law of kindness." Now in the book of Proverbs, you have this personification of wisdom. Solomon is writing about wisdom and the beauty of wisdom and the necessity of wisdom and the value of wisdom, how it's more precious than metals of gold and silver. And in Proverbs chapter 8, now I was thinking about this. I let it go, but then I picked it back up where every day of the month I read a chapter of Proverbs because it's 31 chapters, 31 days in a month about, and so you go through the book of Proverbs in about a month. And today is May 8th, and this is Proverbs chapter 8. And it talks about wisdom. And in verse 1, the Bible says, "Does not wisdom cry out?" Okay? Solomon is personifying wisdom. That wisdom is almost like a person standing there about to talk to you. Okay? So wisdom cries out. "Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice?" Solomon chooses, under inspiration of God, to personify wisdom as a woman. And there's a reason for that. Because there's something beautiful about a brave woman of the Hebrew child who's a wise woman. She takes her stand on the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of all the doors. Verse 4, "To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and to you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things." There's something about a wise woman that's beautiful. Wisdom is personified as a woman. Now, men, we're called to be wise. If you're married, God has given you a woman. And to be honest, raise your hand here if you had or at some point have now a mother. Oh, cool. That applies to everyone here this morning. So you've had a woman influence in your life in some way. If that woman knows Jesus Christ as her Savior, she has wisdom for you to listen to. God has given her a unique understanding and perspective of the world. I understand there are exceptions. Well, maybe, my wife isn't a Christian or my mother doesn't. That's the exception. The general rule is that if she knows Jesus as her Savior and wants what's right and is seeking to obey Him, she has wisdom that you need to listen to. Husbands, your wives, my wife, has a perspective that we can't even comprehend, that we would have never thought about. We often are so very linear in our thinking. We also often very much have tunnel vision. And women have the unique ability to see 360. It's like you've got a rifle with a scope that can see precisely one position. And then you've got, these cameras that they put up on top of the trucks that drive around for Google Maps. That's just like 360. It can see all around at one perspective. She has a different perspective that you don't know. Listen to her. Test what she says with Scripture, yes, but listen to her. Consider what she has to say. Don't just think, oh, she's a woman, she doesn't know what she's talking about. God chose wisdom to be personified as a woman. Sons and daughters, your mother's got wisdom. She has something to say about your upbringing. Even if someone wants to say, oh, my mother's not a Christian, well, she's been on this earth longer than you have, and she's been through different experiences you have, and so she's probably got something to say that's worth listening to. If she knows the Lord and she's doing what's right, she wants what's best for you, you listen to her. You respect her. She's got something you need to hear, and she loves you, and we don't even know half the sacrifices that our mothers have made for us. A brave woman of the Hebrew child is a wise woman. We want to be wise people. We want to obey the Lord in wisdom. The fourth and final brave woman of the Hebrew child, we saw Shifra, Pua, Jochebed. This one's a little bit easier. Pharaoh's daughter. I don't know her name, so call her Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 5 and 6. So Moses is born. Jochebed saves his life, sends him down the river. And it's likely that she knew where Pharaoh's daughter went to bathe, you know. And so Pharaoh's daughter is there. And she hears a baby crying. And she sends some of her maidservants to go check out what's going on. She sees the basket among the reeds. Something's not right. Something's going on. And when they bring her the basket and she opens it and she sees the baby, look at verse 6. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him. And said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. A brave woman of the Hebrew child is a compassionate woman. She's a woman who has compassion for those who are suffering. She's disturbed by those who are suffering. You know, it's interesting that it happened to Pharaoh's daughter. Because Pharaoh's daughter, you know, often with wealth and wit riches and prosperity and prestige, often comes hardness of heart and coldness towards suffering. And here you have a woman who's in Egypt. If you're Pharaoh's daughter, you're like, you're more popular than Pharaoh himself, okay? You're seen as the standard for the fashions, and you know, people look to you. And here she is. And she stumbles upon a Hebrew child. You know, her dad had just made the command that the Hebrew children are to be killed. And she sees a Hebrew child, a boy, and she has compassion on him. She does not allow society's pressures to stifle the God-given heart for life. She doesn't allow popularity and prestige to override the suffering of another. There's something about compassion that's beautiful. I know people we can drive down the road, and we can do it ourselves. Sometimes it's easy. You know, we're going down the road, we go to a gas station, or we see somebody walking on the road, and they just look weird. They just look funny. They've got clothing on or things in their hair that you didn't know you could put in hair, and just different things. And immediately your first reaction, look at that. That's weird. Why would you do that? I mean, who would want to look like that? And that's crazy. Can you believe that? But maybe somebody's hurting. Maybe somebody doesn't have anybody to love them in their lives, so they're just screaming for attention. And so the only way to get people to look at you is to look funny and do things to get attention. I struggle with this. We don't know what somebody's going through. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, anything goes. There's got to be this compassion in our hearts, brothers and sisters, where we want to look at that person with a tenderness and think that maybe they need the Lord. And I'm not just talking about look at the outward appearance, but maybe you come across somebody and maybe everything looks great. Everything looks fine on the outside, but they don't know Christ and they're hurting and they're depressed and they're struggling in this life. And there's got to be this compassion to want to help, want to bring life, want to reach out. Here's a brave woman of the Hebrew child. Her name is Rachel Starr. She grew up in a Christian context, always thought of herself as a good Christian girl. Well, the Lord laid on her heart one day that she's going to reach out to women in a strip club. So often we can drive by these places. I don't know why they call them gentlemen's club, because gentlemen don't go there. But we think in disgust, and the sin is disgusting, but there are people there who need the Lord. And so she reached out to this strip club, and she reached out to those women, and she got connected with them, and she'd bring food and try to open a door to get connected with them. And some of those women came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, were invited to church, lives changed. She had compassion. How does the Lord want you to reach out with compassion? How does the Lord want you to look to those who are struggling in this life? I need to hear the gospel. How does the Lord want you to be a brave person of the Hebrew child? Mother's Day is a day where we cherish brave women. Brave women who have made many sacrifices. But there's something in these women that we looked at that we can all apply to our own lives. How we can promote the life of the Hebrew child. And it will take bravery. It will go against cultural tides. But in heaven, the story will be written for us. And we will praise God for how He worked in our lives to use us to promote the life of the Hebrew child. Is the Hebrew child a part of your life here this morning? Jesus Christ was a Hebrew child, but He grew up to be the Savior of the whole world. He lived on this earth and lived a life we could not live and died a death that we deserved. And the Bible says that if anyone calls on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. We are at odds with God in ourselves, but Christ came to bring us to God, that we could be saved from sin and suffering and death. We can be saved by grace through faith. Not of ourselves, it is a gift of God that we receive it by faith. And the Hebrew child will become part of your life. If you don't know Him, you can accept Him here this morning. You can receive this gospel, receive this forgiveness for your salvation. And God can use you to be a brave man or woman or child in this world that needs Him. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God in heaven, we thank You for these brave women. We don't know much about them. Their story in the Bible is very small. All we know is that they bravely promoted the life of this child at the cost of their own. Lord, would You look in our own lives and show us, Father, where we are cowardly. Show us, Lord, where we are cowardly and we need You to step in and put a courage in us to rise above the fear of man and to want to fear You and live for You. Help us, Father, individually to know where we can promote life, the life of Jesus, to our communities, our families, with compassion, with wisdom, tenderness, and with bravery. For Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name.